Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Coming up this hour here on the DA Show, we've got your best audio of the day in soundcheck. We've also got Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans getting humiliated by the Arizona Cardinals at home yesterday. Woof. We'll talk about that coming up here. Also, throughout the show, we're talking about the Steelers, their impressive victory in Buffalo, the Patriots losing a division game in the Week 1 contest against the Dolphins yesterday, the Browns and Chiefs, the big comeback by the Chiefs, and Chad Pennington, two-time NFL comeback player of the year, is going to join us as well coming up in hour number 4. So all of that straight ahead as we break down week 1 of the NFL season. Let's go down to Jacksonville as the Saints and the Packers had this game moved from New Orleans to Jacksonville, home of the Jaguars. Jaguars were on the road yesterday, and stadium was open after the after effects of Hurricane Ida, and it was not a good day for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Here it is.
Second and 10, ball's on the 45. Jameis under center, takes it back. Straight back in the pocket, he's looking deep. He's looking for Deontay Harris, he's open, and Deontay makes the catch. See you later, bye. Touchdown, Saints.
I don't know if you do. I mean, there's not much you can say other than they beat us. They played way better than us. We played bad. I played bad and uncharacteristic of how we've practiced in training camp, obviously how I've played over the years. So this is hopefully an outlier moving forward. We'll find out next week.
Oof. Saints Radio on the call, Aaron Rodgers. If you have the offseason that he had, arguing that I don't have enough support around me, you're not listening to my input, I'm not happy, trade me, I'm worth more than this, I deserve more respect, I deserve more control. If you have that offseason, the offseason of Aaron Rodgers, if you have an offseason that is punctuated by you publicly frolicking in Hawaii when the rest of your team is working out or supposed to be working out, if you are collecting the wide receivers to be in support of you against management, you cannot have that effort. That cannot be your opening salvo. It cannot be. If you are going to rally the troops against management and say, I deserve more, that can't be the opening statement. I love watching Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be a thrill to know when he eventually gets in the Hall of Fame that I, like many of you, got to watch every snap of his Packers all-time great career and the things that he did on a football field nobody's ever done before and maybe nobody will ever do after. His combination of athleticism, pinpoint accuracy, big plays. His athleticism combined with an amazing arm and amazing pinpoint control. The Hail Marys, the comebacks, the touchdowns, the big quarters, the big halves. It was all beautiful to watch. But Aaron Rodgers cannot have that day yesterday. Because then all of that about I'm more important than this, I'm great enough to deserve more credit than this, I deserve more control than this, I don't need to be at OTAs, I don't need to be at mini camps, I can be in Hawaii, I'm clearing my mind, I can balance Jeopardy and football, then all of that becomes ridiculous. All of that becomes song and dance, sound signifying nothing. You can't have yesterday. Now look, Aaron Rodgers didn't give up 5 touchdown passes to Jameis Winston. He wasn't on the defense that gave up 35 points to the Saints. But Rodgers was terrible yesterday. And there was a point in the second half where he was just chucking and ducking back at his own end zone, throwing it up for grabs on third down, just hoisting it as far as it can go, picked off in midfield back the other way. On that fourth down attempt deep in their own territory, when they didn't get it, and Aaron Rodgers is frustrated and just shaking his head like, what's going on here? Game is over. I hate life right now. That stuff can't happen. You know, when Tom Brady was in the fight against management and would work out himself in California, or was upset that he wasn't getting more money, or upset that Jimmy Garoppolo was drafted, all of that stuff. It's not like Brady didn't go through the same types of things in New England. You never saw a game like yesterday by Tom Brady. You never saw that. The difference between Rodgers and other great quarterbacks, and he's an all-time great. Don't get me wrong. He's an all-time great. And Rodgers is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Is that when things go poorly, his body language is worse than every other great quarterback ever. It's way worse than every other great quarterback ever. You throw a pick, you're down 21. You cannot be shaking your head, muttering to yourself, getting mad, getting sad, getting angry on the field. You've got to always stay in control. You've got to always give your teammates reason to believe you are their leader. And when you sag, they sag. And it always feels like Aaron Rodgers is blaming other people when he gets like that. It always feels that way. Now, I know Rodgers said, I played bad, but he also said that same quote that we just played, uncharacteristic of my career. You know, Aaron, nobody cares about your career. They care about not getting blown out by 35 points yesterday. This is the difficult part of Rodgers. He is high maintenance. He is great, but he is high maintenance. And yesterday, you just simply can't basically tell everybody with your body language, oh, we suck today. Oh, God, do we suck. This whole thing sucks. I suck, you suck, we all suck. Oh, God. It's just not the way to approach that. Not after this offseason. Look, you can't stay away from the facility, clear your head, post pictures of you and your actress, girlfriend, fiance with other actors and actresses, and then come out and lay an egg. That just would never happen to Tom Brady. Would never. If Brady was going to stay away from the facility, and frolic with Giselle at Carnival. That opening day game could never go this way. It was going to be, and I have to prove that I deserve to be able to be away from this team. I'll show you. Not that. Now, I don't want to put it all on Aaron Rodgers because that defense got absolutely manhandled yesterday. And Jameis Winston, 5 touchdowns, certainly looked the part. Although I was aghast at the final box score. Did you see how many yards Jameis Winston threw for? He threw 5 touchdowns yesterday. So you would imagine, okay, you throw her 5 touchdowns, you probably passed 40 times, 35 to 40 passes. Got to have thrown for 330 yards or so, right, if you're going to throw 5 touchdown passes. He threw for .148. He went 14 of 20 for less than 150 yards and 5 touchdowns. So very efficient. He completed 14 passes. 5 of them were for touchdowns. The Saints also ripped apart the Packers' defense on the ground for 171. And the Packers' secondary was just completely lost. Completely lost. I mean, the Deontay Harris over-the-shoulder touchdown, nobody's around him. I mean, how many of those passes completed? There's just no Packers defenders around. And my God, Packers fans already had questions about their defensive coordinator coming into this season. Oh, my. Oof. That is as brutal as it gets. That is as wimpy, as disgusting as it gets. That is a complete team loss. Don't get me wrong. That's a complete team loss. Defense was terrible. Coaching was terrible. Offense was terrible. Everything was terrible. But Aaron Rodgers can't feud with the front office and say, I deserve more, and then come out and play that crap game. Rodgers threw for 133 yards, no touchdowns, 2 picks, had a quarterback rating of 36. He was garbage. Absolute garbage. They couldn't do anything, but Rodgers was also awful. Sorry, can't happen. And either this is a galvanizing moment where the Packers wake up and Rodgers wakes up out of the offseason doldrums and they end up going 13-4. They certainly have that talent, having done that the last 2 years. Either this is a team that wins the division, wins double-digit games, gets a bye, or this is going to be a bleep show all season. The defense is going to be awful. Rodgers is going to be emotionally checked out. The Packers know this is the swan song, and the entire locker room kind of goes through the motions. It's either they're either going to rebound because they're that talented, which they are, or they're going to be hot trash. I don't think there's any in between. That was grisly yesterday. Absolutely grisly. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Dixieland Dan tweets, DA, can the Saints get a little bit of love here? Defense played really well. Jameis looked like a halfway decent QB. Didn't have to throw much or too far when you got a run game with Jones and Kamara. Got a little bit of love here. Hashtag who dat. No doubt about it. Sean Payton continues to prove why he is one of the best coaches in the NFL. Is that exit Drew Brees, enter Teddy Bridgewater. They kept winning. Exit Drew Brees, enter Taysom Hill. They kept winning. Exit Drew Brees, now enter Jameis Winston. Not only did they win going away on a neutral site that was supposed to be their home game. They dominated. Sean Payton is phenomenal. Phenomenal with adjustments. Phenomenal with quarterbacks. And the defense hounded the Packers all day. And Kamara is just such a monster. I mean, when he gets the corner, forget it. But Kamara's got that perfect combination, size, speed, power, catches passes out of the backfield. If Kamara stays healthy, that offense with Jameis, look, Jameis looked happy yesterday. He looked focused. He looked happy. Sean Payton said after the game, he was focused and determined, and I saw that. I think to me, that's an indicator of why Jameis has always been a is that he's never been that locked in. He's always maybe been a little immature, a little distracted, a little head other places, maybe just not quite as disciplined as you need. And now, maybe it's the organization, maybe it's his age, maybe it's his experience. Whatever this is that at least for a day, Jameis was, quote, locked in and focused. And that's when Sean Payton knew we were going to have a good day. Saints look great. And look, in that division, the Saints find themselves in a situation where the Falcons, the Panthers, should be non-playoff teams. Falcons were just trash yesterday. And it's up to the Saints to be the ones that could knock off the Buccaneers. Who knows if they're that good? The Buccaneers are obviously legit good. But yesterday, the Saints looked every bit the part of a contender. That's for sure. When we come back here on the DA Show, we've got your best audio of the day. Yes, we've got sound check coming up here next. So stand by. Then later on in the hour, the Tennessee Titans just get it handed to them. Yikes, what was that?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We'll do that coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
The DA Show every single day can be heard on your smart speaker. So tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. And have us on around the house as you get ready for your day. Get the kids ready for school. Have us on where you are in the morning. Just tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio by Odyssey. We begin with Andy Dalton on soundcheck because last night Justin Fields did end up getting a couple of snaps. He had two throws in the game last night. Also took that one run, the RPO, for the touchdown from 3 yards out. Here's Andy Dalton on the split snaps.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to do and find ways to put the ball in the end zone. And so, it's just kind of part of how we're going to play.
Daddy's always happy. Look, if Andy Dalton doesn't like this, because they're using Justin Fields, then play better. I'm sorry, but Dalton, again last night, just didn't look the part of a franchise QB for a contender. He just didn't look the part again. Now, the Rams are good. It's the opener. First year, first game with his new team. Dalton, quote, QB1. Maybe there's some time to grow into this mold. And Donald and Ramsey and the Rams are really good defensively. So, all right. But was there a point in last night's game where you're like, oh, you know what? The Bears are going to be fine with Andy Dalton. You know, it's okay that they started Dalton in week number one. Really, I don't mind that part of it. If they feel like Justin Fields isn't ready to handle the entire playbook, isn't ready to handle the entire offense, isn't ready to take every snap, maybe behind that offensive line, doesn't want him to get squashed, okay. I'm not one of these bloviators that just yells and screams and stamps his feet because the rookie's not playing. Gotta play the rookie, gotta play the rookie. I hear that so much. I absolutely believe that protecting a young quarterback can pay massive dividends. But you can't look at Andy Dalton last night and be like, well, he's definitely, it's his job. You know, it's almost like we've got to play somebody besides Justin Fields, and that's fine. But Dalton last night looked like so many other Andy Dalton nights before. And no offense to Bears fans, because Bears fans are wonderful. I love the city of Chicago. Bears fans deserve better than this. But America is so sick and tired of the Bears on national TV because it's always that last night. It's always that. It's just always an uninspired, lethargic, weak effort on national TV. It's always that. Like, last night was playbook blueprint Bears on national TV. Where it's never really that close a game. The offense is always stagnant. And we just see, like, the Bears go off and lose by two or three scores. I'm sure Bears fans are sick of seeing their own team on national TV. Get them at least in the 1 o'clock Eastern kick, the noon Central kick, so that they can get their loss over with early. Here's Kirk Cousins after the Vikings lose in overtime to the Cincinnati Bengals.
You know, tough to lose in overtime, tough to lose a close one. You know, this league will always be like that. You know, most of these games are going to come down to play here, play there. And we battled, you know, did some positive things, but there will be plenty to go back and improve upon.
Purple drapes.
Everywhere I look, purple drapes.
All my life I've wanted purple drapes.
All my life. Good luck, Vikings fans. Oh, my God, the NFC North. Oh, jeez, the Bears look like poo. Oof, the Vikings lose to the Bengals. The Lions, at one point, were trailing by like 50 points. And then the Packers get absolutely roundhoused. That's a tough day, the NFC North. Who wants some? Who wants some? I liked Joe Burrow last night, or yesterday afternoon, rather. Burrow had a couple of passes late. They're like, there you go. Calm, under pressure, boom, fourth down, extend the drive, salt this thing away, set you up for the game-winning field goal. You know, Burrow, I know, didn't look great in the preseason. I know there was a lot of concerns about him and Ja'Marr Chase. Well, Ja'Marr Chase had 5 catches for a 101 and a touchdown, including a 50-yarder. So he looked fine. And Burrow, I thought, by and large, looked fine. And the Vikings, what can you say? You know, the numbers for Cousins look better than the actual outcome. And I just feel like that's kind of par for the course of the Vikings and for Kirk Cousins. And finally, on Saturday night, you may have missed this, but on Saturday night, Jacksonville State was at FSU. This is not Deion Sanders' Jackson State. This is Jacksonville State. Jacksonville State trails by 3 on their own 41-yard line, the final play of the game, okay? So they can't kick a field goal to tie it. They've got to throw a Hail Mary. They're on their own 41. They decide not to throw a Hail Mary because the receiver is open on the right side of the field, about 25 yards downfield. But of course, if you're FSU, and Jacksonville State completes a 20-yard pass, and they are 59 yards from the end zone, you just roll over your safeties. You're in a total prevent defense. You tackle that guy on the field or push him out of bounds, and the game is over, right? Wait till you hear what happened. Here it is.
Snap the Cooper. Looking down the field. He's got a man. Caught it. He's free. Phil Y'all Johnson at the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! 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 There are no flags. Touchdown pass on the final snap of the game. Jacksonville State has won it.
Mike Paris on the Jacksonville State U Sports Network. Oh, Mike Norvell. Oh, the Seminoles. Remember, week number one, the Seminoles played really well against Notre Dame. They took the Irish all the way to overtime on national TV on that Sunday night. Mackenzie Milton was just phenomenal in the comeback. And then here's FSU giving it all away on a broken play touchdown to win the game on the final play of the game. The corner gets turned around. The play is complete. The pass is complete. The safety comes over and overruns it. And then the wide receiver just cuts back into the field and outruns everybody to the end zone. Hey, FSU, where's the 7 guys stationed at the goal line? Anything in front of you and the game is over. Anything. Anything in front of you. And it's 59 yards to defend. So it's unlikely the QB is going to be able to hoist it all the way to the end zone. Are you kidding me? That's how you lose? Are you kidding me? Absolutely heartbreaking for FSU, but you deserve everything you get if that's your defense on the final play of the game. Congratulations, JSU! And that is your sound check.
Touchdown! Touchdown!
Ah! Jacksonville State, the Gamecocks. Getting it done. That's, by the way, not in Florida. That's in Alabama. Alabama's Jacksonville State. Okay, so Bogues, I have our hit list of where we're going to be over the next week in Boise. Okay, you ready for this?
I am. Lay it on me.
Okay, so tomorrow, I'm flying out today after the show into Boise tonight. Tomorrow morning, I'm from the KTIK studios, and so that's not for public consumption. I'll just be from the studios. On Wednesday, we're driving into the middle of the wilderness up to McCall, Idaho, and doing it from there because I'm going on a massive fishing trip the day before you get there. So I'm super excited, but again, you can't show up to that show, unfortunately. Okay, this starts our public tour on Thursday. Miraz, are you listening to take down these notes?
Oh, all the notes are here, DA. Pen and paper.
Got it. So Thursday morning, Bogues is with me. We are live from Dutch Bros on North Milwaukee Street. Okay, Miraz? So Dutch Bros, it's a coffee and breakfast place we're going to be live from Thursday morning.
Oh, more food. Great.
In the afternoon, Bogues, we're with Prater and the Ball Game on the afternoon show, Idaho Sports Talk, live from the Stagecoach. And we're there from 3 until 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Now, Miraz, remember when we went to the Stagecoach and the meal that we had there? We sat in that booth in the back. Remember how great that was? Oh. The shrimp cocktail?
Yeah, I ate delicious prime rib there as well. That is very good food at the Stagecoach.
And that afternoon, Bogues is at Edge Brewing, 4 until 5 local time, and then Neighbor Hub at Columbia Bank at 5 to 6. So he's got back-to-back craft beer tastings on Thursday, Miraz. Would you like to be there for that?
I would love to be there. A back-to-back and a belly-to-belly, Bogues leading a contingent of everybody trying craft beer? That sounds like a good time, DA.
Bogues, you're going to be at Edge Brewing and then Neighbor Hub on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, starting off with a bang, huh? My first day there, back-to-back power hours with our friends in Boise.
Yeah, that's right.
So you better still be at the Stagecoach after that so I can circle back hammered and have some of this prime rib to settle down all that beer.
Oh, yeah. Then Friday morning, hey, Miraz, you'd like this place. We are broadcasting live the morning show from Bacon. Oh, it's just called Bacon.
Need to say no more than that name.
Just Bacon. Afternoon show will be live from Big Al's Patio in the Village with Prater in the Ballgame. They're broadcasting live. We'll join them. And then I'm going to do the preview show from Big Al's Patio in the Village on Friday evening, 6 until 7 local time, where we'll have on players and coaches and kind of do a pep rally, Mraz. So that should be a lot of fun on Friday night.
That sounds like the best night to get ready for college football on Saturday.
So Bogues, day one, had two craft beer tasting hits. He's got two more on Friday night. He is live.
Oh, that's news to me. I thought there was only one on Friday.
He's live at Twisted District on Friday, and then he follows that up with Crescent Brewery. So, folks, you're going to have four different local breweries that you'll be at for craft beer tasting.
It's like you're trying to kill me. I'm going to have to go fancy, like, wine tasting and just do, like, swish it around a little bit and then put it in the spittoon. Now, I can't actually swallow any of this. I'll be hammered.
No, yeah, you're going to be hammered, which is going to be great. We're going to get two loosey-goosey bogish nights, which I'm super thrilled about on Friday going into the game. Then on Saturday, 11-1 locally, we will be at Twisted District again for college football viewing. And so, Bogues, hair of the dog there. You're going to wake up early, and at 11 a.m., we're going to watch 2 hours of college football.
I might just sleep there, let's be honest.
And then that night after college football viewing, we're going to go tailgate and go to the Boise State game finally.
I think we might have oversold my craft beer abilities here. I don't want to disappoint four different places thinking I'm some kind of like beer sommelier walking in with all these this deep palate and experience tasting. Just give me a Bud Light Lime. Let's go.
Let me tell you, the people in Boise are amazing. They don't need anything fancy. They don't need you to tell them about the notes of hops or the nose of stouts or anything. They're just looking for a good tasting beer. They're looking for a TV screen, a big beer, and just a good time. So you're going to be fine with them.
Do they have seltzers there? Do we know if they have any hard seltzers in the Boise area?
Not sure. So, Mraz, does this sound good?
All kidding aside, this sounds like an amazing trip. So many good stops, so many good food locations, beer locations. It really sounds like a week in paradise, so I hope you guys enjoy it ever so. I really do. I wish you guys nothing but the best.
You're being professional here, diplomatic. I thought you were going to be melting down on us.
I don't know that I have it in me. I need to save my melting down for a week as I keep hearing how great the things are as they unfold. If I melt down before you've even gotten on an airplane, how much energy am I going to have left on Friday by the time I get sick of my jealousy?
That's a good point.
I mean, there's also the unofficial agenda, too, where places, when we're not at some place giving us food or drink, other places want to supply us with the remaining meals of the day. It's like we have a menu to fill out to submit before we get there to fill in all the blanks.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm just looking at the menu of this place, Bacon, as well. I mean, do they just love breakfast in Boise? Does every place just have awesome breakfast? They have a Chipotle Hollandaise, D.A., a Chipotle Hollandaise.
My. Oh, that sounds like my type of breakfast. Oh, doctor. So I'm going to be live in Boise starting tomorrow morning right through next Monday. So a week in Boise. I'm sure by the time I come back home, my wife will have somebody else living in the house. Sure.
The cat.
Oh, hi. Who are you? I'm your husband, or at least I was. Oh. Right. You're back already? It's been a week! Oh, yeah, you're back. Okay, got it. All right, Bogues has our headlines this morning. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
It is where we began this morning. Matthew Stafford and the Rams are one for one.
Stafford back to pass on first and 10. Has time, steps up in the pocket, going deep. Kupp is all alone, makes the catch at the 10. He'll walk to the end zone. Touchdown, Rams! A 56-yard touchdown pass.
Ryan Radke on Westwood 1, as he said. That one 56 yards to Cooper Kupp. There was also a 67-yarder to Van Jefferson. Three total touchdowns from Stafford in a 34-14 decision over the Bears on Sunday Night Football in L.A. Andy Dalton picked off in the end zone in his Chicago debut. Justin Fields completing two passes for 10 yards, scored on a short run in the third quarter. Russell Wilson, meanwhile, a little better than Stafford in the afternoon in Indy.
Second down and 20. Russ steps up in the pocket, and he's going to let fly deep downfield. Got a man open, Lockett. 10, 5, stumbles. He's in. Touchdown, Seahawks.
I missed Steve Rabel on Seahawks radio. Oh, Wilson, yeah. 254, four scores through the air in a 28-16 victory. His head coach, Pete Carroll, with a post-game hug for new offensive coordinator Shane Waldron.
The day to me really goes to Shane. I think his first time out and a chance to show it, and I'm really, really proud of what he was able to do because he went for it the whole time. And we did exactly how we've been practicing.
On the flip side, the Colts got 251 yards and two scores from Carson Wentz in his debut. The franchise, by the way, has now dropped 8 consecutive openers. The Chiefs, meanwhile, have reeled off 15 straight September wins after taking a thriller from Cleveland 33-29, KC scoring the final 13 points of the game. Damian Harris's late fumble helped the Dolphins escape Foxborough 17-16. Kyler Murray, 4 touchdown passes throwing, 1 running as the Cardinals rolled through Tennessee 38-13. And Jalen Hurts with a hat-trick of TD passes in Philly's 32-6 rout in Atlanta. Tonight we get the Ravens and Raiders in Vegas. Raider running back Josh Jacobs reportedly questionable with an illness. Alabama and Georgia stay 1-2 atop the AP college football poll. Oklahoma moves up one spot to number 3, while Ohio State drops from 3rd to 9th after losing at home to Oregon. Those Ducks are now number 4. Francisco Lindor's 3rd homer of the night got the Mets a 7-6 win over the Yankees last night. It was a solo shot bottom 8 from Lindor. His team is now 3 games away from the 2nd NL wildcard. The Yankees a game behind the Red Sox and Blue Jays for the 2 wildcard spots in the AL. Max Scherzer perfect through 7 1/3 against the Padres yesterday. He also recorded the 3,000th strikeout of his career on an 8-0 Dodger win. And Novak Djokovic did not make history yesterday, missing out on the calendar year Grand Slam by losing the U.S. Open final in straight sets to Daniil Medvedev. He gets his first major in his 3rd final. DA, back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Bogues. Well done. When we come back here on the DA show, I was so high on the Titans last week, remember? Smash the over on their total wins this season. In fact, on Sunday Morning Football, I talked about how disrespected the Titans were going into this game, a home game against the Cardinals. Cardinals coming east, early kick. What have the Cardinals accomplished? Titans have been in the playoffs the last couple of years, AFC Championship game appearance. And then what happened? Oh, the Titans got their teeth kicked in. We'll talk about it next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's going to be a good day with D.A.
Snap to Murray. Quick throw over the middle. Hopkins has a catch at the 10. Turns to his left at the 5 and hits Pater. Touchdown, DeAndre Hopkins. His 2nd of the first half. And the run after the catch was a thing of beauty as he turned the defender around to get into the end zone.
Watch the tape. We'll correct and we'll coach and we'll teach. And then we'll have to practice. And that's what happens. And They were clearly better. They clearly were better coached, and they played better.
Woof. Mike Vrabel, what's up with your outfit? And I'm talking about the team, not necessarily the clothes. Oi. Welcome back, DA, with you. That was Dave Pasch on Cardinals Radio as the Cardinals put it on the Tennessee Titans yesterday, 38-13. This game was out of hand early. Remember that the DA show is always viewable as well. You can watch us each and every morning at watchda.com. Again, that's watchda.com, mobile friendly. Also, you can watch the simulcast on our Twitch channel, CBS Sports Radio on Twitch. Look, I'll be honest, I had this one all wrong. I still like the Titans over this season, although today's not the day to crow about that. You know, the over-under, as I talked about last week with the Wizard of Odds, was set at 8.5 some places, 9 in most places. I saw it also at 9.5. I said get it at 9 because I think that this team is easily a 9-8 team at worst. That's a push. I think they'll win 10 games. I do. I think this is a 10-7 type team, maybe even 11-6. But yesterday was not a good step towards that. And my concern is that the Tennessee Titans defense is just as bad as it ever was and that Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown might not be as good as advertised. Now, it's hard to say that after just one game because Tannehill has proven since he got to Tennessee that he's been pretty consistently very good. And if you look at the numbers and break them down, since Tannehill got to Tennessee, he's had some of the best passing numbers in the league. I mean, really, it's been a tale of two careers for Tannehill. Yesterday, though, sacked 5 times by Chandler Jones alone. And when he wasn't sacked, he was sacked 6 times overall. He just wasn't creating plays. He wasn't creating big plays. And maybe this happens when you're looking at Chandler Jones out of your ear hole the entire game. But he just looked skittish. And Derrick Henry was a disaster. An absolute disaster. I mean, what? Midway through the second quarter, I think he still had negative yards. Negative yards! He finished with 58 yards, but first half, he was garbage. The Titans' offense was awful, and the Titans' defense got absolutely shredded. I hope for Mike Vrabel's case, and I hope for my case as well, this is the case of the Cardinals just being better than I would have thought, and the Cardinals taking their next step forward. I haven't been a huge Kyler Murray fan. I haven't been a huge Cliff Kingsbury fan. But yesterday, Kyler Murray was phenomenal. 289, four touchdowns, only one pick. He was also solid on the ground, rushing for another score. You know, Kyler Murray, if that's the Kyler Murray we see more often than not, the Cardinals are going to be really good. But more so, if that's the Cardinals' defense we see more often than not, the Cardinals are going to be really good. I think it was a tale of both teams. The Titans had an absolutely atrocious day all around. I mean, my God, you can't block Chandler Jones for five sacks. After the first three, don't you just have it within yourself to say, okay, that's not going to happen again. You roll all the double coverage protection over to him. The extra blocker, you cannot get beat by Chandler Jones five times. Three were in the first quarter. But also their defense might just be as humiliating as last year's defense, in which case that's going to be tough for the Titans to overcome. The Cardinals scored 10 points of the first, 14 points of the second, 14 points of the third, and then the game was over and they sat in the fourth quarter. They scored 38 points through three quarters. Embarrassing for the Titans. Absolutely embarrassing. Yesterday, Mraz took in MetLife Stadium and all the glory that was Teddy Bridgewater versus Daniel Jones, Giants and Broncos. Okay, Mraz, you have been a Daniel Jones defender slash apologist for a long time. In fact, when Daniel Jones was drafted, you threw a party and said, that's it. We have solved the quarterback situation for the next 10 to 12 years. This is yet another underwhelming performance. Yet another season for Dan Jones. How'd you walk out of that game?
Furious. Enough with the fumbles and the turnovers. I said he was out of excuses this year. He's like all the weapons in the world. And again, they scored 7 points. He moved the ball up and down the field, but you can't freaking fumble when you make a big play run to get the team into the red zone and just give it all back. It's a back-breaking, crippling play. The defense couldn't get off the field all day, but you can't make excuses for me. At some point in year three, you either get it or you don't. He's good enough to move the ball down the field, not good enough to get it in the end zone because he turns it over. I can't take it anymore. It's like running into a brick wall nonstop.
You weren't watching TV because you were at the game, but the TV broadcasters were noting that was his 40th turnover.
Amazing.
In his career. 40 turnovers in, what, a little over 30 games? Less than 30 games, I think. I think they said it was 29 games he's played.
And the problem is he fixes one area of turnovers where he's not making stupid throws to throw interceptions, or he's not dropping back and fumbling just because he's getting sacked, but now he's fumbling when he has two hands on the ball, running the ball.
Yep.
So it's like mentally he corrects one way he turns the ball over and then invents another way how to turn the ball over. It just doesn't end, and you can't have it. When the defense can't get off the field and you only have limited possessions like the Giants do, you're not good enough to overcome that. You can't turn it over.
What about defensively? I mean, the Broncos didn't have a huge game, but they were able to run the football pretty effectively.
And they went 3-for-3 on fourth downs, D.A.
Oh.
Vic Fangio getting aggressive. 3-for-3 on fourth downs. Teddy Bridgewater looking like Elway up and down the field. The defense supposed to be a top-10 defense. They were atrocious. Atrocious. Couldn't get off the field.
How's Bob the Deli Man? What was his post-game reaction last night of the long drive home?
He was ticked off. First of all, he had to drive us home. We're all hopped up on high noons. It was bad. Traffic taking 2.5 hours to get home. He's miserable that he missed the rest of the games all day because now we committed to going to New Jersey. He's screaming, never again. People are cutting him off. He's giving him the finger, telling him basically they're cutting the holes harder than Barkley. He also wore jeans and brought a jacket because for some reason he thought we were going to a game in November. It's 85 degrees there yesterday. And then he had an almond joy he was looking forward to on the ride home. That melted apparently in the car. That was a major issue. It was just an ugly afternoon. It really was.
That's just salt in the wound. That's really a kick when you're already down, when the almond joy that you're waiting for on the ride home is melted.
I mean, it was a larger F-bomb uttered out of his mouth when the almond joy was all melted in the packaging than when Daniel Jones fumbled yesterday. That was the kind of afternoon and evening we had.
Is he checked out from Daniel Jones?
Yeah. I think he's really annoyed because he's one of these guys who also, hey, no excuses left. Give the guy a chance. And then at some point, you just look like an idiot when you keep giving him a chance. It becomes sickening and disheartening to be the last one on an island saying, I see good things, and then getting laughed at the whole time. It's not fun. It's not a fun position to be in.
I did one show. I talked about this on the air. I did one show with Maggie Gray on WFAN this summer after our show. And on the program in New York, I said, I don't think Daniel Jones will ever make a Pro Bowl. And I think that's... If you're wondering if he's ever going to be great, I don't think so. And I got accosted by Giants fans. How could you say that? Mitchell Trubisky made a Pro Bowl. I'm like, okay, well, hang on. Let's say, is he going to be elected? Not as an injury replacement, but also, is he a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback? And I couldn't believe the kind of resistance I got from some Giants fans who just want to hope the best. I don't know what you could see from Daniel Jones over the last 2 years that make you believe that he can really be a good QB. Yeah. But I'm with you, Mraz. He's out of excuses now. I mean, at this point in time, what else are you going to say about him, you know?
You can't. All the weapons there. Stop fumbling the football. Enough.
13 points yesterday against the Broncos. Broncos win 27-13. Teddy Bridgewater 1-0 as the Broncos starter. So everybody wanted to write off the Steelers going into this season, and everybody wanted to promote the Bills right to the Super Bowl. And yet, what happened yesterday? We'll talk about the events of Orchard Park next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.